Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, Marital Tour of Misguided Medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
I'm feeling so relaxed, Sid.
Are you?
Yes, we just had our first overnight away from our two children since the second one was born.
That's right. We were not parenting for 36 hours.
Oh, boy, and what a sweet, sweet 36 hours they were.
It was nice.
Our flight got delayed on the way home, and I was like, oh, no.
No, I was...
How could it be?
That's when I was getting very antsy, whole night away from them. No, I
got deeper
them.
Into island time the more we were delayed.
But it was nice. It was nice to reconnect just the two of us and get to go out and talk to other adults.
So we accidentally... we're in New York, and we accidentally stayed at a... I guess you would describe it as a wellness... centric hotel.
It was like the anti-Sawbones hotel. I didn't know
actually.
That's what it was. Justin, full disclosure, Justin booked it. Yeah. It was your fault, really.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention. There were a lot of hotels in the area that we wouldn't need to be in.
We were looking for proximity to the venue that we were going to be headed to. And then, like, I usually like if they have a bathtub. That's a big thing for me.
Sydney likes a bathtub.
I never get to take baths, and so if it's like if it's a nice outing for the two of us, maybe there'll be a bathtub and I could take a bath. So those are kind of our
only
criteria.
Two things, right. But this place we checked in and they're like, hey, listen, just want to let you know with your reservation, you can get 30 minutes in the IR sauna.
That's infrared.
Infrared sauna.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 minutes in the cryo chamber.
Yes.
And you can load whatever music you want and they can play. It's 3 minutes, you know, a 3 minute long sauna to get you pumped up because it's pretty cold in there.
Right. It's a cryo chamber.
And we're like, what in the living heck?
We had no idea because at that point we didn't realize what we'd walked into. And then we get to the room and there's all these like...
Oh my God. There's instructions on how to go to sleep. There's like 3 pages on like how to go to sleep. It's like first do tear open your the complimentary, like not complimentary, probably
no,
like $8
AMT and
the tea, and then make sure you do 5 things about gratitude, and then so, and then it's like, so just like, I can't just lay down and go to sleep. I got a whole kind of routine I have to go through.
There were like detox things in the room that you could... I mean, everything was for a price. And of course, we did not use any of these
folks,
things.
I'm here to tell you, there was a yoga mat in the room for sale to buy. Just open this yoga mat and you purchased it.
And a foam roller.
Yeah.
We did not use any of these items. It was very nice hotel otherwise. I shouldn't just be throwing shade. I mean, it was very nice other than... all of the fake medicine.
But I think the strangest offering that I literally could not make heads or tails of was the IV cocktails.
So this is an interesting thing to bring up. I have been receiving emails for a while now that I couldn't exactly parse at first what people were asking me because they were writing and requesting that we talk about IV therapy. And I'm thinking, do you just mean like the history of... the IV, like intravenous.
Saline and all that
right,
good
like
stuff
how did we
bags.
Come up with the equipment and to do that and the stuff that we put in, like, how do we figure that out? Is that what you mean? But it became clear to me pretty quickly from how many emails I was receiving and then the content that something is going on now with IV therapy that isn't strictly evidence-based, I would say.
That's generous.
Or you could say not at all evidence-based.
Sure.
And I want to talk about IV, what you'll find it as like drip therapy, infusion therapy there, or I would like to go to an IV bar. Some people will say like there are various names for it, but it's the idea that you're going to get something through the IV, but not
medicine.
Well, not because like a doctor said you needed it. Like you went to a place and paid somebody to do it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's retail IV therapy.
Yikes. I mean, like, super yikes, right?
Yes. And thank you to everybody who emailed me about this for a while now.
I can hear
there's go ahead.
Thanks, Lindsay, Rebecca, and Kate, and Melissa, Ari, Carrie, and Amy, Brittany, India, Alexander, Drew, Alex, Brian, Ainsley, Karina, Hannah, and Anthony, Monique, and Salem, Samantha, Nelson, Lexi, Faith, Valerie, Danielle.
That's it.
That's it. Ba-ba-ba, and those are all of the people.
But thank you.
I had to resolve the melody, right? So I can get annoyed.
Let's talk just a little bit about, as a physician, as someone who attended a medical school and learned about IV therapy and now is responsible for, you know, prescribing it and, like, deciding when it is necessary and whatnot. The very basic idea. It means intravenous, so in a vein. And this would be as opposed to what we would say is PO. So you get a medication IV in a vein, or PO, which means by mouth.
That's or there's the, UB, up the butt.
No, that's PR.
It's bad PR in a lot of cases, depending on what's going up there. PO, a lot of celebrities run afoul of that.
PO is from the Latin for per os, by mouth, and per rectum. PR.
Per rectum. Mm. Oh, how fancy. Up the butt. You mean in the butt.
We're professionals, honey.
Okay.
Why would we do this? Why would we put something in your vein instead of in your mouth? Well,
I can guess. It tastes bad.
Not typically. Usually, it is never simply because it tastes bad. Is never the only reason. Perhaps it also tastes bad, but that is never the reason.
If they have blood and you're going to get a blood transfusion, like, no one's going to be like, I'll just drink it.
Well, that wouldn't work. Because blood goes in the vascular space.
Well, that's one example of something that, like, would not... Maybe that's one reason is because it's, like, it wouldn't be good to go through your digestive juices.
Right. You would just digest it, and it would not help you. And you'd feel bad. You'd feel very bad. But in terms of fluids that can hydrate you, that's one thing we might put through an IV, right? We say IV fluids.
Yeah.
It's... almost never water. That would be very dangerous to just infuse straight up water into your veins. It's usually mixed with electrolytes. So like normal saline,
Gatorade.
You'll hear. Well, it's not Gatorade, but it's got electrolytes in it. There are various mixtures of electrolytes. And if somebody cannot take things by mouth, if they cannot drink, then they may necessitate IV fluids.
Or
if they don't want to.
It's boring.
Well... if for whatever reason they don't drink, they're at risk or becoming or are dehydrated, then that is a reason we would do something IV.
You can request anything IV. Don't get bogged down in drinking. That's a waste of time. Just make them put it in.
No, it would be if for some reason it's not safe for you to swallow, or you cannot swallow, if you're vomiting everything up, if you're unconscious, that kind of thing. Otherwise, we actually prefer... drinking as the best route for hydration. We've all had a stomach bug, well, except for Justin, who somehow has maintained health. And it's hard to keep kids hydrated. It was hard to keep myself hydrated. Mm-hmm. But I know that the best thing for me to do is to just keep trying little sips and try to maintain orally my hydration. It's better. It's better for your body. There is no advantage of an IV to a healthy person. Well, there's no inherent thing, unless you absolutely can't. I mean, in which case, yes, you need fluid, but if you can drink by mouth, you should.
Well, I mean, there's like, anytime you're using a needle, right, you're risking, you know, infection, no matter how small the risk may be, or like,
yes.
weird reactions or whatever.
And we'll get into that. I will get into the risks of this. Other things you might need IV, medications or vitamins. Again, most of those things are just if you can't take them by mouth for some reason. A lot of medicines work very well by mouth. We have formulations of them that work just fine. Like they are made to take orally, they are metabolized appropriately, and they work just fine. There is no inherent advantage to taking something that works by mouth in an IV, except in very specific cases when, like, we need it to work faster, like anesthesia or a pain medication. Let's see, somebody comes in there with a fractured femur, you know, saying, here's some oral pain medication that'll kick in soon enough.
Yeah, I need to be out now.
you need something faster. And IV can work in some cases, can work faster. So that's one advantage. And antibiotics sometimes in specific types of infections, like something we call a bacteremia, like an infection of the bloodstream, bacteria actually growing in the bloodstream. In that case, IV antibiotics are superior to oral. Sometimes we can switch to oral eventually, but just suffice to say, there are very specific situations where a doctor would look at you and say, you can't take this medicine by mouth, you need to take it by IV. And when it comes to things like vitamins, this is almost never the case. I mean, we almost never need to replenish your vitamins quickly via IV. It's hard for me to, unless we're talking about ways to give you nutrients, replacing nutrients because you cannot take things by mouth. So this is like a chronic thing where you are going to have to get your nutrients in another fashion.
You don't have like an emergency vitamin C situation.
No, there are emergent situations where we give people magnesium, but this has nothing to do with just, oh, I'm feeling kind of fatigued today, I might need some emergency magnesium. It's more like, oh, I'm in a fatal arrhythmia called torsades and I need magnesium right now or my heart will stop and I'll die.
So not something you hear people say out loud a lot.
Exactly. I mean, things that a doctor would tell you and you wouldn't be able to verbalize because you can't.
Because of how bad your heart is doing.
Yes. And also because I would need some sort of EKG telemetry, some sort of machine to tell me that as well. I would not be able to tell you by looking at you. So at this point, you're in the hospital and a doctor has told you that. So the point is, the vast majority of things we need, and certainly just regular nutrients, food and fluids and all the things we get from them, we get from eating and drinking.
But
as long as we can, we get them from eating and drinking.
But Sydney, I hear me saying, why are people putting them in needles then?
So there are a couple of histories to discuss here. First, I wanted to just briefly mention the history of the IV because it is an interesting idea. Who came up with the first IV?
It's wild. Abstracted out, it is a pretty wild idea.
The idea
that someone would just be like, hold a bag and like, here, plug this into you. I'm just going to stand here and hold it. Because you know they didn't have a metal thing for it. So it's just like, I'll stand here and hold it and just let this bag drip in you.
That was basically, initially the ideas were just for blood because we had no idea what else we'd be putting in people. So if you look back to like the early writings that reflect, even if they weren't trying it, but like the ideas that people were writing about what IVs might be, and this dates back to like the 1400s, you have people writing about this idea that what if we could use like silver tubes to connect the vein of one person to the vein of another person. Mm-hmm. And the idea was very unscientific. Maybe an old person who's near death could be rejuvenated and revived if we give them a young person's blood.
What a fun time to be in medicine.
And again, this wasn't really done routinely, but a lot of people wrote about it and thought about it. So like these ideas were there, but it was mainly in regards to blood. The first real work in this area was done in the 1600s. There's this story that supposedly inspired these, at the time, medical students who went on to become all kinds of different scientists, doctors. One guy was an architect. Anyway, they witnessed this case of a young woman, Anne Green, who was sentenced to death by hanging and managed to survive, although they didn't realize that. Like, they brought her down from the gallows, thought she was dead, brought her back to... There were medical students, so I'm wondering if it wasn't like a rogue dissection that was about to happen.
Okay, all right.
But one way or another, they realized she was still alive. So they did a lot of work to revive her. After this, she was pardoned.
Really?
It's a weird... weird, sad case, although she lived and was pardoned. But from this, these young students were inspired to work on IVs. So I don't know what exactly they did to her to revive her.
Yeah.
But that is the perhaps apocryphal, but that is the story that leads to a lot of these guys working on IVs. One of them is Christopher Wren, who would go on to be a famous architect and design a bunch of churches. But at the time, he was working on connecting quills to pig's bladders as like a way, like you use the quill as the needle and then the pig's bladder would hold the
whatever. You used to be able to do that. Just be like, I'm going to be a famous doctor guy now, and I think later I'm going to be a famous architect guy. Because there wasn't that much to learn, because we didn't know anything.
I mastered that.
It took 3 months. We don't know anything. I learned it all. There's 4 books about medicine. I read all of them. I guess I'm a medical expert now.
One of his contemporaries, Richard Lower, who was an anatomist, actually, he remained in medicine, it seems, for his career, but he worked on
what underachiever
animal to animal blood transfusions as a result of this work. That was initially like with dogs. He would try to transfuse blood from one dog into another dog. That was what he started with. And then some were inspired by that to try animal to human transfusions.
Sure.
At first, I mean, it's always the same with these stories. You read that, like, it seemed to go okay at first, and then it was disastrous.
It was very bad.
Which I would say it probably was disastrous from the jump. You should not put straight up animal blood into human.
What you should
things.
Do first is put human blood into animal blood and see if they get our incredible powers of speech and thought.
They were banned in France by 1668 because of this. And so then people started trying it in England, and later that year they were banned there too.
Yeah.
Because of some, they tried some lamb to human transfusions. They thought that specifically for cases of, probably what we would diagnose today, some sort of mental illness, some sort of like schizophrenia or something, is what it sounds like they're trying to describe. They thought that lambs were calm. And so the blood of a lamb would calm you.
I could go for a lamb to human PO translate right now.
That's a weird thing
eating,
to say.
It's like a weird way of saying eating lamb. And I don't actually like to eat lamb. I don't know what I was doing there.
I'm still just on crackers and toast right now.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
The IV
I got
thing.
I that pho upstairs that I got for you yesterday.
We'll see. Maybe later. The IV thing became popular again when an American physician, Philip Singh Physick, either tried it or he wrote about it. Nobody's really sure. But he wrote in a way that people thought he had tried a human-to-human transfusion, and this inspired a British OB, Dr. James Blundell, to try it. And he came up with a bunch of devices.
I would not let someone named Dr. James Blundell. What? So what are you going to do? I'm going to take your blood out and put it into somebody else. What's your name? Dr. Blundell. Okay, I don't think so. I think I'm going to wait for Dr. Steely-Eyed McLarson, something like real solid, you know?
I don't know.
Solid character. Miss Dr. Smith. I'll let him do the blood transfusion. Thank you. Not Dr. Blundell. Oh, sorry. I got the needle in my dang foot.
Dr. Blundell actually...
I stepped in a fart.
He was actually responsible for doing the first real series of successful human-to-human transfusions. He had a couple different devices.
Me and my quick leaps to judgment.
He had the Impellor and the Gravitator. One worked by gravity. That's what that's all about.
He's not going to name them the Blundell device, is he?
And so that was really, but again, this is kind of limited because at this point, we still don't know about blood types. So you're still, every time you're doing this, you're rolling the dice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times they would look for like a spouse to be a donor, which is like you've got all these family members and you could maybe you've got a little more chance, but then spouse, it's just who knows. So eventually people started to think, you know, this is really cool for blood, but like, is there other stuff we could use these devices for? You know, at this point we have the early blueprints for syringes and, you know, IV, not really catheters yet, but needles that go in the vein and bags to hold stuff. So could we do other things? And it was really cholera that was responsible for the development of those things. In the 1830s, there were cholera epidemics and people were dying, you know, in large scale. And a lot of it they figured out was due to just the loss of bodily fluids and electrolytes so quickly. And so they developed an early form of IV saline solution to combat this. And this was this was the first thing we were going to start putting in veins that wasn't blood, really. Mm-hmm. And throughout the late 1800s, this really inspired people to try other things. Like, well, what about other, you know, things for malnourishment or chronic illness? Are there other things we could put in the IV that would help fix those things?
Right.
And so you see all these different things. Like as early as 1876 is when Dr. Sidney Ringer, who anybody in medicine will know that, where I'm going with that right now.
You're giving me this look, Sidney, that I couldn't parse in 1,000 years. Should I just sort of tell you what you mean by that?
He created a solution known as lactated Ringers.
The pregnant
Ringer's
pauses
lactate
are killing me, kid. I don't know.
But
I don't know.
It's still in use today. 1876. That's how old LR is. Anyway, it's still used for some patients today as an IV solution that is necessary with a certain blend of electrolytes and for very specific reasons, of course. We don't give them to everybody. It's in some patients. And then that's when they started using medications.
Oh, wait, lactated Ringers.
Don't make fun of me. And then this is the first time we started putting medicines in the IV too. Things like opiates were the first thing we tried. And the equipment got better after that. We started, we've switched to rubber eventually and then plastic. We started to develop what would become the mainstay and what's still in use today is the idea of having a needle with a catheter, a thin flexible tube over it. So you would use the needle to insert the IV and then withdraw the needle so that all that's left in your arm is the thin plastic.
Do you want to know something?
Tube, not the needle.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's what's in there.
I didn't know.
It's not a needle.
Didn't know that.
No, it would.
Just this exact second.
It's hugely advantageous because, as you can imagine, if a needle's in your arm, you kind of got to hold it still. Mm-hmm. Whereas once you can withdraw the needle and it's just that thin, flexible tube, it gives you a lot more.
Did not know that till this exact second, mm-hmm. 39 years old.
Yep. So that is what is in the modern IV. And we developed that, the vacuum sealed containers to hold whatever we were putting in the IV so that you could reduce contaminants and infectious agents and that kind of thing. And eventually also, this was all the realm of physicians. It wasn't until the 1970s when the first nurse at Mass Gen, Ada Plummer, was taught and inserted the first IV. And after that, it quickly became the domain of the nursing profession. It's something that I have inserted IVs because I was required to do so in medical school, but I did not. Like, that is not something routinely that you find physicians doing anymore. It's really, whenever a patient says that about a shot or an IV or anything, like, well, will you do it for me? I always say, you don't want me to.
You want the nurse
to do it. Well, I will not do as good a job.
Sid, IV sounds great, and it sounds like very good, and it's good we did it, and I can't think of any way that we would ever misuse it.
Well, of course we found a way to misuse it, Justin. Of course we did. As long as there's money to be made. But before we do that, speaking of money,
we'll make our money.
We'll make our money. Let's go to the billing department.
Let's go.
The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth.
You know, travel is always stressful, especially when you're traveling with as many kids as we do. And we look for anything that can make it just a little bit easier. And one of the best ways we found is away luggage.
I thought you were going to say drinking.
That's right up there. Everyone has a unique travel style. So Away has a range of suitcases that are made from different materials, different colors, 2 different carry-on sizes. So it's very customizable to the way you like to travel. All their suitcases are designed to last a lifetime with durable exteriors that can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. And they've got 4 360 spinner wheels, guarantee the smoothest roll even through the most hectic of airports and stations. I saw a guy when we were flying back who was in the American Airlines office complaining because they had just destroyed his 3rd suitcase.
Oh, no.
And you can tell. Well, I didn't feel bad for him sitting. I said, you know what you should have done? I said this in my head to him, right to his face in my head. You should have gotten an Away suitcase.
If you just listened to the Sawbones podcast, mm-hmm. then you would have heard about it.
Away offers a 100-day trial and free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous U.S., Europe, Canada, and Australia. So to get your suitcase and shop other travel essentials, visit awaytravel.com/sawbones20. That's awaytravel.com/sawbones20. New sponsor this week, too, Sid.
Who's that, Justin?
Honey.
Honey? Yes.
Not you. See, I was waiting. You're a little slower. Let's try it again, because okay. It's a great bit. Okay. It's a real good bit. Got a new sponsor this week, honey.
Yes.
Wow. Still very slow. Let's just like get that, send that Burns and Allen, like that's, okay. That okay. Pattern. All right. Pattern. All right. Okay. We got a new sponsor this week, honey.
What is it?
It's not you. It's Cold Honey. It's a
show. Oh, you really got me. What a crack up. What a knee slapper.
What a card I am. Honey is a free online shopping tool that finds the best promo codes and applies them to your cart. What does that mean? Okay, so you're shopping at a place and you're going to buy something from the little drop down, and they have a thing that says apply coupons. And then Honey will just go out on the internet and look for coupons for you to use, and then help you make the prices drop. It's like, imagine if you're physically in the store and they're like, do you have any coupons? And you're like, no. Honey is the friend that runs up to you, sprints up like, wait, I have coupons.
Here they are.
Use these, please. Honey has found it's over 18 million members, over $2 billion in savings. 100% true story. I installed Honey on my browser, and the first thing I needed to buy was a frying pan, and it saved me $17 just because when I went to check out, the little Honey thing popped up and said, hey, let's look for coupons for you. It found me one and saved me $17 on a pan. Are you kidding me with this? Fantastic. To not use Honey would simply be to just be passing up free money. It installs in two clicks, lives in your browser, and you can get it for free at joinhoney.com/sawbones. That's joinhoney.com/sawbones.
All right, Justin, where did it all go wrong?
Where did it all go wrong? With us.
As far as I can tell, it starts with a physician that was practicing in Baltimore in the 60s named John Myers. It's hard for me to find a lot of information about Dr. John Myers other than this specific part of his life. What other wonderful attributes he may have, I do not know.
Or terrible.
I don't know.
Who knows?
All I know,
a real monster,
is that after, or not, no, like, let's
I'm
not
sure
assume
he
that.
Wasn't, but I'm saying
we have
can't
no idea.
Not know.
I don't know. What I know is that after he passed away in 1984, his patients went looking for new doctors, and I have been on this end of things where a patient will come to me and say, hey, I'm new to you. My old doctor used to do whatever this thing is. Could you just do this? And I will think, oh, that's not a thing. Oh, no. Why did they do that? And it's hard. It's hard for the patient who loved their previous physician and had a trust in them. And it's hard for me as their new doctor trying to develop that relationship to say, I can't. I mean, this is something that really stretches the bounds of what's safe and what's evidence-based and scientific, and I might harm you, and that obviously I don't want to do. And that's a tough position to be in. But these patients went out looking for new doctors, and a lot of them started asking their doctors for a vitamin solution that Dr. Myers used to give them. Now, whatever Myers' original formula was, no matter what anyone tells you, we don't really know. We have an idea of what was in it, we think, but mostly based on what patients told other doctors. We don't have anyone who says that they have the original Myers formula. No, you have what you think might be.
Yeah.
I don't know if it matters or not, though, because he was apparently using this for patients with, well, lots of stuff. Chronic pain, heart conditions, things like depression or anxiety, fatigue.
It's getting to be a lot of things, Sid.
And if they didn't get these regularly, the patient said that whatever their symptoms were would come back. And so he would give them regular, these were more injections as opposed to, they were IV injections, not necessarily hook you up to an IV.
Right.
But he used something that combined magnesium, calcium, thiamine, vitamin B6, B12, calcium, vitamin B complex, vitamin C, and some hydrochloric acid. Okay. Something to that effect.
Okay. Wow. That's quite a blend.
Now, other docs heard about this, and I imagine there were quite a few like me who were like, there's nothing there. That's not real. But said it in hopefully a nice way. Although I have found usually people get frustrated with you and leave and don't come back. But you try. You do your best. You do your best. But there were some docs who said, hey, well, maybe old Doc Myers was on something.
Sure.
I'll cook one up.
Sure. We can get you a blend here. I'll mix it up in my blender, my blend tech.
So a lot of these docs started cooking up their own Myers cocktails, Myers formulas, Myers, whatever you want to call them, protocols. And they changed them around a bit. Like the hydrochloric acid was gotten rid of pretty quickly. Some things were upped, like the doses that were reported of things like magnesium were so low that they could not possibly be doing anything physiologically. They were like, it was like homeopathy. And so they, so a lot of the doctors would like up the things to a dose that might actually do something.
Maybe cut back the hydrochloric acid, maybe.
Yeah, that was cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was out. And then they started giving their patients, the ones who adopted this, Myers cocktails for anything. You find doctors claiming that it helps with asthma attacks, acute migraines, fatigue, and chronic fatigue syndrome, both just acute and chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, muscle spasms, upper respiratory tract infections, chronic sinusitis, seasonal allergic rhinitis. Some patients would improve if they had congestive heart failure or angina or hyperthyroidism or dysmenorrhea, which means painful periods.
Yeah, this feels like, it feels like the kind of thing where like if Dean Martin had to do a show that night, but he was really sick. This sounds like the thing that the weird smoking doctor who they brought, he travels with would give him. Like, let me just whip him up one of these these cocktails. That always perks him right up.
It reminds me of that. There's an episode of Mad Men where they do that. Do you remember that? Where they invite everybody into the office because they've got some doc there who's going to give everybody an energy shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have to assume it had some sort of amphetamine in it or something because they're all running around afterwards. Anyway, yeah, it speaks of that, except as far as I can tell, there weren't any, everything in it is either like a vitamin or an electrolyte or something like that. Like it's not, I don't know of any like use where you actually put some sort of drug in it or something.
There's like a sub-logical fallacy with these where it's like, It's not a subcategory of logical fallacy where it's like, if you get a lot of things that won't have an impact, but mix them together, it sounds like a really potent cocktail of like, wow, that's a lot of different things you've put in there.
You can also play on like, and we've talked about this on the show before, people seem to fall for vitamin C a lot. I mean, not that vitamin C isn't important that you have an appropriate amount of it, but super therapeutic doses, massive doses of vitamin C has never been proven to do any extra thing than make you pee vitamin C. But there's that. And then like B12, I find that's a common misconception that taking B12 will give you energy when the reality is that that's only true if you're deficient in B12. Mm. If you're not deficient in B12, getting extra B12 doesn't do anything. So, I mean, certainly if you have a B12 deficiency, you should take B12, but otherwise you're not, that's nothing. Yeah. But that's a common misconception. And so from these early kind of reinventions of the Myers cocktail, you saw this spread to beyond just individual doctors, although there are still doctors doing this, probably for cash, because I can't imagine what you would bill an insurance company that would get this covered. But it's also done by like some chiropractors, some naturopaths. And then there are these IV therapy bars that have sprung up. And this is a place where they probably have to have a doctor, I would say, on staff, or at least by name.
Across the street.
They usually claim a doctor affiliated with it somehow. But this isn't the same as having something prescribed to you individually as a doctor, because they've gone far beyond the Myers cocktail. Most of these places still do offer what they call the original Myers cocktail, although, as we've said, who knows what it was.
That's pretty bad if you can't even get the... It's like a fake version of the fake medicine.
Of the fake thing.
it's like the guy in Multiplicity.
And they have infusions for everything now. So initially, I guess they were mainly targeted at people for hangovers and jet lag. Those were like the two things that these cropped up for. And you could even find them like at music festivals. And they would come to your house. Like if you were really rich, you could pay them to come to your house and they'd like help you recuperate after a rough night of partying. Or if you just had to fly from coast to coast and you had to, you know, I don't know, film something. Because like it was very popular with celebrities and rich people.
Assuming the base is saline, right? Mm-hmm. That's mixed in with other things mixed into it, right?
Yes.
Presumably.
Yeah.
That would work for the hangover, right? Like you would at least feel better.
In part, but that also, it's a misunderstanding, and we talked about this on the hangover episode. A hangover isn't simply dehydration. Yes, you are probably somewhat dehydrated, and yes, part of the recovery from a hangover is to drink fluids. But one, I have no data that says giving them to you IV is going to rejuvenate you, make you feel better from a hangover faster than just drinking. And two, there's also other stuff that makes you feel bad from a hangover that
the toxins and
yeah, that saline isn't going to fix.
Got it.
But yeah, that was kind of where they started, but then they blossomed from there. You can find a lot of these different places now, mainly in big cities, but they're spreading. They're great. Spreading. I think that I saw that there was one in Ohio that great. We could probably get to if we
perfect.
Ever decided to abandon science altogether. They will provide you with all kinds of different cocktails. And that's really how they call a lot of the websites call them menus.
Mm.
And so you can peruse their menu for the cocktail you prefer. And they have names like libido and immune booster, diet and detox, pain blaster, liver cleanse, the performance, nirvana,
the performance.
And brain focus. And there's a wide variety of costs. The original Myers, from this one website and from most that I was looking at, the original Myers is like your base. It's like $99, $100, something like that at most places. But you can spend a lot more. They're usually in the, mid hundreds to low 200s. And then I found one called a HydraStim, which is for chronic pain, joint injuries and tendonitis, which is $4,000. Which made me wonder if it had stem cells in it, which is a whole other thing. But I couldn't find. That's the other tricky thing about this. So I looked through a lot of these websites, and some of them list what they call the key ingredients. But it was very difficult for me to find any complete list of components anywhere. And some of these websites had none. They just said vague things like a mixture of vitamins and amino acids.
Yeah, hard pass. No, thank you. Like, you're just going to, but you'll just inject that into me. Okay, perfect. Excellent.
I emailed one of the websites and said, could I just know what your, like, what are the components of these cocktails? Is there a place where I can research this, where I can look to a list? And I never heard back from them. Of course, this same website, they had a doctor who wrote one article. They had a blog. And there was a doctor who put one article on the blog, like, attesting to how good and true all of this is.
Right.
And so I kind of dug into this doctor to try to figure out who they were. And it was, as far as I can tell, there is a real physician attached to the name. I think if it is the right person, but the photo on the website that is next to the doctor's name, I reverse image searched it. It's a stock photo.
Mm.
So that's weird.
That's weird. Yeah.
But
it's very weird.
I don't know. So I don't know if that was really the doctor, the name I found was really a doctor or whatever, who knows. But all of it is sketchy because if it's really something that truly works, you should just be able to tell people what's in it. And they can make a decision talking to an actual doctor.
Proprietary blend or something like that.
Of course, if you want a list of the most fashionable, chic, spa-like experiences you can get, check Goop out.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
You know Gwyneth Paltrow is into this. It's expensive. It's prohibitively expensive.
And dumb.
And it does nothing. Of course she's going to be in on it. And so you're probably wondering, is there evidence for this? Well, obviously, for the IV administration of medications and fluids in appropriate medical situations, well, yes, obviously, we know that. We do that every day in the hospital. When I am working in the hospital, I am ordering IV medications for my patients every
right.
single day.
Very good.
Yes, because that is science, and we have evidence and studies that say that this works. But as far as evidence for the Myers, there's just collections of anecdotes. There is no solid research that the whatever you want to call the Myers, whatever various cocktail you want to say is the original, none of it does anything beyond placebo. They did a study with no control group at all in like a handful of fibromyalgia patients, and it showed short-term some improvement, long-term no improvement. They did another study that actually did have control in a placebo group, and and all that, and with fibromyalgia patients again, and there was no difference between the placebo group and the Myers group. And moreover, they noticed an exaggerated placebo response within the study, which is probably because we know that the placebo response is higher when you get an IV than a pill.
Because it seems like very intense medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The idea that this is based on is that we absorb essential vitamins and nutrients better through the IV. Mm-hmm. And so this is just inherently a better, like, because this isn't just for if you're sick. I mean, they will take your money if you're sick and are looking and like desperate and looking for hope. But they'll also take your money if you're just like a healthy person who wants to feel that unattainable better that everyone wants to feel. They will take your money and tell you that this is for wellness. This is just for a boost. This is to give you a glow, whatever, something like that. Because you can't get all the stuff you need from food and drink the way we can. Well, if that were true, we wouldn't be designed to eat and drink. If you have a functioning GI tract, you absorb everything you need from it. Now, obviously, there are people out there who have, for various, you know, reasons, various illnesses, don't have a GI tract that functions in that way and do need assistance getting the nutrients and essential vitamins and things they need. But that is something that's very individual, and it's something that a doctor should help you with diagnosing and treating and, you know, managing, checking levels of things, because there are risks to this. There are absolutely risks.
Of course, you're letting some, like, just person who is at a place put a needle in you. It's a risk.
Well, and we've accepted, like, I feel like it's so hypocritical. At the same time, I feel like some of these wellness people, like we keep hitting on Gwyneth Paltrow, but there are a lot of them out there, but they will tell you at the same time that the problem with doctors is that they won't give you individual treatment, that they have these one size fits all solutions with their drugs and their pills and whatever. If this isn't the essence of that, a one size fits all, here, we have these IV cocktails that fix everything. Mm-hmm. So you have a problem, come here, give us $175 and we'll give you a solution. And if you don't feel better, it's because you needed to come back again. I mean, it's obvious snake oil. It's not needed. It's not proven to work. And there are risks, as you have alluded to. There are risks. When someone is going to stick something into your vein, they need to be using proper sterile technique, whether it is in the hospital, under my supervision, or in whatever IV bar that Goop told you about. And if they don't, they could cause an infection. They could cause inflammation of those blood vessels, which can be very painful. They could easily give you too much of something, because from what I've read, some of these places will take your blood and have you talk to a doctor first, but not all necessarily have a regimented process, because none of this is FDA regulated, by the way. They all have that thing on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is not intended to cure or treat anything. None of this is regulated, so they could hurt you by doing the IV, and they could also give you toxic doses of whatever they're, you know,
you can
get too much of some vitamins and you could cause liver failure, kidney failure. I mean, who knows what you could do? Electrolyte disturbances. And if your electrolytes get out of whack, your heart can stop beating, as we've already covered. So I would recommend against any of these. I think that what they're doing has no evidence. While most people are just going to be out a bunch of money and probably not harmed by this, there are going to be people harmed by this, for sure. And celebrities are using this. It's very popular among, like, people on Instagram and that kind of thing.
Of course.
I read an article where I don't know if this is true, but they were reporting that Kendall Jenner had this done and then had to be hospitalized afterwards for a reaction.
Mm.
And I would say that is likely going to happen more and more often the more and more people who use this therapy. So do not do it.
There is no
benefit. If you think you have a problem, go talk to your doctor. Your doctor is best suited to tell you what you need, whether it be by mouth or by IV.
Don't do it. Folks, thank you so much for listening to our show. I just want to let you know that we're going to be appearing with My Brother and Me, February 19th, Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Taft Theater. If you go to bit.ly/20funny, you can see that and see where else we're going to be touring around this year. There's not a lot of dates up there right now, but there will be very soon, from what I understand. We got a book that we wrote. It's called The Sawbones Book.
That is what it's called.
It's at Amazon or like bookstores. Rather than spend $175 on that, go buy 10 copies of our book. Give it away to friends. You'll do a lot more good.
Or just one.
For us. Well, they're spending $175 to burn anyways, and they might as well spend it on us. Don't That's do that. All I'm saying.
Just don't do that. Save your money.
Or give it to a charity, whatever. fine. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program.
And next week.
Next week.
You've all been emailing, and I am listening. We will talk about coronavirus next week. So, since there's a lot of concern.
Get there.
Yes.
That's going to do it for us, though, for this week. So, until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
As always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.